Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Migs Cast. I am Steve Migs. I'm here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello.
Glenn Cannon.
What up? We just had like a big pre-show confab.
I know. It was fest. Great. Yeah. Bitch fest about Migs fest.
Whoa.
You just let a cat out of the bag.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Could there be one? Could it return in October?
It was a bummer that one didn't happen last year.
I know, right?
I don't think we should let that happen again.
Nope, I don't think so.
Because this will be
Migs
Fest 3, right?
Yes.
There's 2 days in October in the last couple of years that I don't necessarily remember.
Yeah,
yes.
See? Well, let's face it. Both Migs Fest 1 and Migs Fest 2 were really cool.
They were so much fun.
I mean, they were rad.
Before and after, I have never puked outside of a party bus.
I did puke at Migs Fest 2.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did. I think I was at one. Which one did I take the dab hit? Maybe it was the second one.
I think that was Migs Fest 1.
Yeah.
You puked at Migs Fest 1 for
Migs
sure.
Fest, yeah. Yeah.
Migs Fest 1.
It's French for one.
Yeah, Migs Fest 2 is towards the end. I was like, I'm going to keep going. And that was when I was on the bus with a bunch of people, and I looked at everybody and go, I'll be right back. And I walked off the bus and just hurled outside the bus violently. Walked back on the bus and crushed a beer.
The first one was the one where I puked outside of the bus, apparently barely missing Hair Club.
That would have been neat.
And then I needed my wife to hold my hand and drag me into the club because I needed to go to the bathroom. And I was like, I got to go. I'm going to poop my pants. And she was able to expertly guide me into the bathroom. The toilet was open. No problems.
Did she take you to the green room, the back room?
No.
You went in the toilette de public.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't remember it.
Seen and done horrible things in that bathroom.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. So did I.
I remember one time, now Studio 7 was closed, we were after partying, but it turned into a, dude, come here, and I think it was Mark Harris that ran up to me with his phone and he had a photo.
Oh no.
And it was that toilet, and there was a yam in it, the size of a human arm. I mean, it was, like, I'm not the kind of guy to just look at a photo of poop, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I was like, What? And he's like, it's even more impressive in person.
It's like a boa constrictor.
And I want
to going through the mud.
I want to throw out there was no toilet paper.
Oh.
Yeah, this thing.
Oh.
No TP.
Oh.
It disappeared down in the hole, and it was about as big around as like a venti cup from Starbucks.
See?
And no Starbucks for me today.
It tapered off, and it was above the water line laying against the porcelain.
Oh, have you done icebergs before?
It was incredible. Oh.
It was like a dead seal on the beach.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm like,
oh, gross.
And myself and maybe 20 other people that were partying there after hours went in to view this baby.
You got
to
see this.
Yeah, it's a viewing party at that point. And sometimes
I should have stood outside the door and be like, $5, you want to see the poo?
It's like when someone saw an Andy Warhol piece of art for the first time.
Yeah.
Tell my friends, look at
what
this.
What is this? Modern art.
Multicolored poo. And each frame is the same poo, but under a different pastel.
It'd be great if someone listening is the owner, the proprietor of that
art. It was incredible. Like, to me, I'm like, dude, someone walked out of here with a prolapsed, you know, colon.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, because how did you pass funny. That?
Yeah, who was walking bow-legged out of there?
And if there was no toilet paper, that meant you just went and left the way that it was.
Well, but it could have been a complete clean getaway
That's
scenario.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, that thing could have been firm enough to, like, you could have used it to knock holes in drywall.
So many questions.
Yeah, you know.
So many disgusting questions.
Like, there's really a bunch of horrible questions here that I don't necessarily think we're going to get answers for.
It's amazing that women listen to this.
You got to throw this curveball spin on it. What if it was a really pretty girl who couldn't wait anymore for the stall in the ladies' room, so she snuck into the men's room?
I choose to believe that.
Yeah, dude, right?
Yeah. This is now my storyline for that.
98-pound waif supermodel passed that Volkswagen.
Bro, now she's 91 pounds. Thank you very much after that.
That's right.
I was an apartment manager once, and I remember being called twice to the apartment of these two beautiful chicks. They were ballerinas at the Seattle Ballet, whatever, the Northwest Ballet.
Yeah.
So they were...
Were they passing some stool?
My gosh, they had...
I love that.
Bro.
My gosh. No, bro.
Just now we're talking about ballerina stool. God, I love this show.
Monster dumps from these ballerinas.
Ballerina movements. Because
I go
the
in
BMs
there,
you don't
and
want.
They're like, we clogged our toilet. Can you help us? And I'd go in there, and I'm like, whoa! No shame. And I had to use the plunger.
Okay, so the plunger worked?
They didn't have a plunger. I had to go get my plunger.
You had to, like, break it up with a knife first.
We bought them a plunger.
Okay, yeah.
As a gift.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I was wondering about that.
They didn't find the humor in that. But I'm like, dude, if you got... This is... I don't ever want to see this side of you again.
Yeah.
I saw it twice. Here's a plunger.
Yeah, like, what are they eating to create that?
I don't know. I think other ballerinas.
I consume them to become stronger.
None of us knew that ballerinas live like on lasagna and Diet Coke.
So much cheese.
Cheese.
Have you ever seen a retired ballerina? No. When time comes, they eat them and poop them out.
That's how they get
the ballerinas. It's like a snake. There's like a tutu and bones.
That's horrifying. It's strangely interesting.
That's also our name of our new side project that the Rev, myself, and Glenn are starting called Retired Ballerina.
Retired Ballerina.
It's a prog rock band.
Yeah.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, man.
What the hell is going on?
When's our first and last rehearsal?
Dude, so you brought up Hair Club. I still got to give, MVP of Migs Fest 1, in my opinion, was Sergeant Hair Club, because he stepped foot on the party bus.
And that was...
To wish me a happy birthday, which I thought was like, he's a cool boss. And you could tell he was looking around.
It was an F show down there.
I mean, it was. You walk on that bus, and it was pure, just straight up hotboxed. Everybody's losing their mind. There's like aggressive EDM being played at that
Absolute
time.
Chaos. Was that the one with the porn stars?
I was about to say, there was not one, but two porn stars.
Wasn't one like a former rock girl?
One being a former rock girl.
Okay. I do remember some of this.
So if you ever wonder how those careers
porn
transition.
Porn star romance. Look her up on, which turned out to be Wyatt Only's favorite porn star. So he was having a...
Happy birthday, Wyatt.
Is it his birthday today?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. But
can I get your autograph?
He was fanboying. He's like, you don't understand. That's my favorite porn star. How is she on this bus?
Steve's like, because it's my birthday and that's how I roll.
I was like, that's my friend. Such a weird... And then there's Hair Club, our boss, on this bus. And he just looks puzzled.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even know why I'm on this bus. He goes, happy birthday. I'll see you in the club.
Yeah.
And he got the F off the bus.
I'm seriously really happy.
Glenn was scared of the bus.
I got on the bus and knew quickly that if I stayed on the bus...
Your downfall.
I was in big trouble.
Yes.
And so I said hi to some folks. I think the porn stars were... they were sitting sort of on each other.
Yes,
that's usually how that works.
And
right?
there was sort of I saw that and knew, you know, like the word serial monogamist went through my head. I thought of my wife and fled. That whole sentence rhymed. Wow.
Yeah.
But I remember I got off the bus like, whoa, you know, like I felt like I had just dodged a series of bad decisions. And I walked right into Sean Morrison. He's like, hey, buddy. And I was like, don't go on that bus.
Don't.
And it was great because his girl Pam walked up beside him. And she went, Sean, you're not going on that bus. He went, I'm not going on that bus.
The devil is on that bus.
It's like I've got the first person saying that, second recommendation not to. Okay.
Dude, my little devil. Like I got
and I'm out there in the window open. Come on the bus.
We got the angel and the devil on each shoulder. I got on that bus. And the devil somehow was now larger than the angel, much larger, and his voice was much louder.
Steroids.
And he was like, in here you can do drugs and whatever else you want, and everything will be fine. It'll be a consequence-free environment. You'll still be able to play blacked out. You always have. Yeah. And then I looked on my under shoulder, and the little angel was like nude with a gag ball.
Yeah.
And like, go ahead. Take your pecker out and rub it on the window. You can do it.
Nobody will think that's weird at all.
Yeah, and then thank God.
They wouldn't. No,
thank God somehow, like the little angel was like, get off the bus, you know, with drool running from around the gag ball.
So
I had
an alarm on my phone that just said, get in the room. I set it around the approximate time that I would have to come out and sing the Beat Migs theme.
Oh, yeah. I looked at you and you were like, were DJing on invisible turntables.
Yes.
You know, and your eyes were huge and you were smiling.
Like, you were playing DJ, but you had your phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
But his hands were moving.
He's like, wiki, wiki.
But I had like the turntable set up, like the digital turntable, the new version of turntable.
Oh, you did?
They have like the little spinny ball things. Although I had the
I thought you were just like air turntable.
In all fairness, that was there, but there was a case over it, like so it was closed. So I was doing the fake.
So you were just rubbing the lid.
I was rubbing the lid,
rubbing the lid
at MixFest 1.
Isn't that a Judas Priest song?
Rubbing the lid, rubbing the lid, rubbing the lid.
So MixFest Trace, huh?
It's only gonna get weirder, man. Well, there was another part. Oh, what the hell was it? There was something else. And then like whoever was with the two porn girls, they weren't doing porn stuff. They were just there.
They were. Yeah, I remember they were wearing, I think, white triangle tiny bikini tops, or at least one of them.
Were they?
Oh God, yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. I thought they had. I was about to say. I think they were just wearing like a sweater.
They were. And the one girl was sitting on the other girl's lap, and there was discussion of narcotics. And
yeah, they had a buddy who I think was a
like,
pimp.
You know, like you want to get in on this, and I'm like, you know, the little angel was like, you gotta get out of here. The devil's take out your balls.
Go. All I remember is a guy that was with them, and he's like, it's your birthday? I'm like, kind of. And I remember there was like a moment of clarity. And he goes, well, here, happy birthday. And he puts it in my hand. It was a hit of acid. And I'm like,
whoa.
I don't know what to do with this. Because it's like, I don't want to do this.
Glenn, lick Steve's palm now. You'll still be able to play music. Sure. Don't worry.
Sure.
So now I'm freaking out. I'm like, am I sweating? Is it getting through my hands? And it was like that moment of panic. I'm like, thank you. And I didn't want to be rude because I was afraid like he'd be mad because he seemed like he was like a serious, like he was kind of intense.
This hit of acid.
Take this now.
But I'm like, I'll save it for later. And I like pretended to put it in my back pocket. And I just like shook my hand because I'm like,
floor acid, everybody.
I was like, the last thing I want is acid.
I love that you didn't just like slap it on someone's forehead. Slap.
Blessed by Steve.
Sorry, Levi.
And be like, good luck to you. Good luck to you tonight. Speaking of Levi, shout out to Levi and Lion Pride Party Bus. That was, of course, the bus that we were on at Migs Fest.
Love you and miss you already, Levi.
Oh, bro. I miss Vancouver so bad.
That guy's just winning at life.
He's such a good dude.
I know.
Travis posted a picture of the bus ride up and then the bus ride back. And Steve, you look a little drained.
He's
on
a little
the way
hollowed
back.
Out, bro. Steve was a little hollowed out.
Oh, I my soul was ripped out of me in Vancouver. I think it's still somewhere in Burnaby. I'd like to go back and get it. I think we threw it away in the peanut butter jar with all the other stuff that we weren't allowed to bring over the border.
When we pulled in at my house, you know, my wife is like,
it's true.
You look a little rough. I'm like, I'm okay. You know, and she's like, are you hungover? Are you sick? I'm like, no, I'm good. It was just a long weekend.
It was.
And, you know, over the course of the next day or so, and then I think she heard the show, she pretty much pieced together the confessional of what transpired outside of rock shows and delicious sushi.
You used a kitchen knife to dig what out of your nose?
Yeah. Dude, the sleeping pill story got some traction.
It's a great story.
I received some private messages about
ridiculous.
That. That's legit would be in like a Judd Apatow film. If like they were doing a movie of Bruiser Brody, that's a pivot. That's probably the first scene you will see. And then it'll be like, and this is how we got there. And the rest of the movie will lead up to that
As
moment.
I reflect on it, one of my favorite moments
about it.
You might
want to know how I got into this position.
Yeah. Just Travis seeing me suddenly dig something out of my nose with a knife.
With and a sharp
it,
knife.
And plop it in my mouth. And then Travis is like, and I'm like, no, man, it's not.
It's like, wait, did you take a booger out with a knife and eat it?
No, it's a pill. It's only covered in boogers.
It must have looked like the biggest booger in the history of boogers.
That is so gross, man.
No, my nostrils are clean, man.
I doubt that.
I got a good clean beak.
How did you pick your booger into the shape of a pill? That's amazing.
I think he just saw enough of it that there was a data misfire, and I just remember that he retched.
Oh, but dude, so speaking of Lion Pride Party Bus, we're getting back on the bus. The Donkeys, the hockey team, you know, usually we go for our Easter weekend trip, but we weren't able to make it happen. So we've decided, you know what, screw going to Spokane for the Classic. In a few weeks, we're going to go to Portland to celebrate a hockey tournament that involves really, there's not a hockey tournament, nor will we be bringing hockey gear. It's just a boys' weekend away with the Donkeys, and we're going to collectively lose our minds. And Rich from the party bus driver, he's going to be taking us because he missed doing the Easter tournament.
We got to get a before and after Steve shot.
I'll take them.
Like, you'll have color in your skin.
Because we're leaving, like, right after the show on a Friday.
Yeah.
D-Ted Smith, of course, coach is coming. He's taking a day off from work to do this. And we're going to get on the party bus, head on over there. Just lose our minds for a couple of nights and then come back. It's going to be really fun. But we're debating. I threw it out there to some of the guys. I'm waiting to hear back. But it's so funny. I just got a text literally from the guy, one of the guys on the team. After how successful our Airbnb experience was, I'm like, do you think we could get an Airbnb in Portland that fits 10?
That's the way, dude.
10? I looked it up online. There's a couple places like outside of Portland that actually have 10 beds in a house.
Wow.
And it's, I think, like $380 a night.
Yeah, but for 10 beds, that's a bargain.
Holy crap.
Airbnb is the way.
It's under $100 a person for the whole weekend.
F a hotel, man.
Straight up on that. Like when I went up to Anchorage, Ricker and the guys with the Leaf Life podcast got me up to Anchorage to do some podcasting up there. We got a 4-bedroom house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Like the stuff that they hook up with that. I've never done an Airbnb before.
$140 a night or something?
Like $129.
Dude.
It's up in Anchorage. Yeah. Like, so you're going to get that sort of thing. Yeah, but like the fact that you're getting
the place that Brody had, I mean, dude, the place that Brody had was cool. And it was
perfect.
It was, I think it was $94 a night.
And it was maybe 50, it was like 20 minutes from Vancouver downtown. So we were in Burnaby.
Dude.
And when you're wasted on a party bus, all it feels like is you're getting in an apartment.
Comfortably
with wheels.
Comfortably slept the six of us.
Yep.
Two giant.
Six of you. Wow.
Yeah, Levi and I shared a bed together. It was hot.
Who was the big spoon?
Levi, of course. Have you seen him? He's been working out.
Rouse and I bedded together, and that was pretty much just a laugh fest. The Friday night, I laughed myself hoarse.
Giggle fest?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Snuggle and giggles.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so much fun.
We pretty much just blindfolded and didn't touch each other.
But then JT split like a bed to himself.
Well, yeah, because Travis was like, nah, man, I'll sleep on this love seat. It's like, bro. But he was like, nah. I'll sleep on the love seat.
He wasn't feeling sharing a bed.
Well, also to be perfectly honest,
he's a lead singer.
Some cats are like that. They're like, dude, I'm not crawling in bed with you.
I used to be that way.
Almost cussed.
You almost did.
And then I just stopped caring.
I'll tell you one of the worst. This
JT needed hair or needed the bed for his hair.
I was still in high school.
He had his fan in the other side of the bed blowing his hair while he sleeps.
That'd be rad.
Yeah. I would seriously
if you opened the bedroom door and he was laying there asleep but his hair was I would be like, man, he is the lizard king.
So yeah,
I love this guy.
There's a place in Hillsboro, Oregon. I'm not sure where that is in relation to Portland, but it fits 12 guests. It has 4 bedrooms, 10 beds, 3 baths. It has a ping pong foosball table and
Dude, what? And
it's minutes from the Vineyards, whichever, I don't know what the hell that
is. They got wine there, so you're in a good place.
It's $335 a night.
Hillsboro
is amazingly cool.
Fairly close.
How far? Yeah, how many miles, like driving wise, in a party bus? Because, dude, this place is, it's a giant house.
It's 16 miles, so about a half hour out.
But you know how it is. On the party bus, dude, when we would leave downtown.
No, yeah. And it's,
our place was 20 minutes away. It seemed like 36 seconds.
And it's straight on the US 26, so you can just bebop right to it. I mean, dealing with Portland and all the stupid bridges.
It's 20 miles from downtown.
Yeah.
That's like, insane. I should
very
say that.
Close.
Yeah.
And it said it fits 12.
It fits 12.
I didn't realize that they went that big with
that's
these Airbnbs.
Smart, that's just savvy,
like,
dude.
That's like getting an airplane hangar and putting beds in it and saying, "Have fun, guys."
Dude,
here's my problem though. I ain't dropping money down on this one because it's the donkeys.
Oh,
like someone else is gonna have to take the responsibility.
You put your credit card on it, kind of thing.
Hell no.
No. What are, I mean, what not you, but someone else. Yeah, someone else's credit card.
What are all the stains on the wall?
Do you have a wealthy friend that's a donkey? Are there any wealthy donkeys?
One of the guys has got a wealthy family.
Okay, what you want is his. What are they? Is it the black MasterCard where you can like buy a house with it?
Yeah, yeah.
Have him put that on it.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be me.
You know,
but I get some of the guys might want to just be downtown for the sake of being downtown. I personally like the idea of being in a house because I really enjoyed the experience of
even
the brothers.
Travel. The travel too was fun. The environment was fun. You get up the next day. The next day was fun because
you moved at your own pace.
You kind of check like, okay, everyone's alive. Yeah, no one's like, you know. I get up, service, you come out now.
Right? Yeah.
No, dude, we got up. Shammy, dude. Take a long hot shower. It's cool. Everyone's making their own breakfast. It was cool.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
It was summed up like this: we'd party till like 3-4 in the morning, sometimes 5 in the morning. I'd wake up for some reason. I think it's just I'm just conditioned. 7:30, 8 in the morning.
Ugh.
I'd get up. I'd go outside, look around. Why am I up? Go right back to bed, take a piss, go back to bed, wake up again around 11:30, 12 o'clock, start looking around.
Feel human.
Make myself some toast quietly because Travis is asleep on the couch right in the middle of that room. And then all of a sudden, like, JT pops out. Or Glenn was typically one of the last to get up, I think.
I'll get my sleep if I can.
Yeah.
But usually...
Rouse got up pretty early.
I'd wake up each day to the sound of, you know, hushed conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, everyone's just talking quietly because no one wants to wake anyone up, which I thought was amazingly cool.
Well, that's a camaraderie right there,
that's
too.
Just like bros.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much respect I have for the fact that you're being respectful.
It helped that Travis was in that room. Because the last
everyone
thing,
was kind of just, you
I don't
know,
want to piss him off. He's trying to sleep. Yeah. And also, sleep's important, I would imagine, to vocal cords. So
yeah,
there's
probably,
like, you know,
right?
A little bit of that. But yeah, it was cool.
It was
everybody
cool.
was respectful.
But I'd get up, you know, kind of when I heard the muffled voices. Because usually, like, I would wake up at 8 a.m., and, you know, be like, no. And I'm already blindfolded, so I would just drift.
That's a whole other
you know,
story.
I'd sleep for 20. Yeah, exactly.
Him and Rouse.
I had wiggled free. I do have that great photo. I don't want to share it on the interweb of Rouse and I were both hammered. We were all hammered that night.
Shocking.
Oh, yeah.
But not Levi.
We're both in bed. We're both blindfolded, but Jeff Rouse is holding up a half-eaten sandwich towards the camera. And I'm in the background with, like, devil horns up, but we're both blindfolded. It's an incredible picture.
Weird.
But I think it's just best kept among friends.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was Travis took that photo, and then Travis also has video of me laughing myself hoarse, which I don't know if that'll ever hit the open, but he showed it to me the next day. I'm like, wow, I was really high.
We went next level.
Oh,
it was
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
Oh,
and now
God,
you're going to be doing it again.
Well,
I mean, with the donkeys,
different. That's
a little bit different.
Not really, though.
I know. I was just trying to think. I'm like, it's a different set of boys,
It's weird. Like, I think it's, well, you know, actually, nowadays, everyone else also is like, you know, they're a lot younger, but they're not a lot younger anymore, if that makes sense. Like, they're not crazy in their mid-20s anymore when we first started the donkeys. All these guys are now in their 30s. Some of them are now married. Some have kids. So I think there's going to be a different vibe. I think everyone's still going to go balls out, but it's going to be similar to the Bruiser Brody balls out, where we're all going to get wasted. It's going to be harmless. And then we're going to wake up in the morning and start over again.
Yeah. You wake up, you have your nice coffee.
The only thing is,
and
we don't have a little bit of a sense of responsibility knowing that we have to play a show. Not that it really stopped us, but it kind of stopped us.
Yeah, at least it's on your mind. With this, there's
it's
none
all
of that.
Balls out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Balls out boozing.
That second day, we got into the venue, and that fifth of Jack was there, which is, you know, relevant to my interests. And but I was just kind of sipping it. And then Jeff was kind of sipping it, and I was kind of sipping it. And finally, he's like, you know, I think we're taking the absolutely wrong approach by just sipping this whiskey. And he's like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't feel great, but I don't feel bad. And he's like, right.
Let's feel great.
That's why we're doing this wrong. And I'm like, okay, Jeff, man, I respect that. And he's like, yeah, I think we're doing this wrong. And he just took a huge, like, gulp.
Gulp.
Yeah.
And then he handed it to me, and I went,
that's not my life, man.
But within 5 minutes, I was like, Jeff, And he's like, I know, I was right. I'm like, yeah, I feel great.
Yep.
I'm going to go fist fight a parking meter. Like, and let's do this. You know, like,
that's the spirit.
Typically, that's when I went out to the venue because I was like, we couldn't push our luck. We're getting different types of alcohol as our on our rider. So I just was like, I need a shot of tequila and a vodka soda. And that was like basically every time.
You're not a whiskey guy at all?
Man, it just it never sits well with me.
Oh,
I'm, the drunker bag. I get, the more tolerant I am of it. Yeah. But like to start off my night pounding whiskey, it just doesn't work. I know.
Brown bad.
He just shook his head at me like, Cannon, what the hell are you doing?
There's memories involved with that. Ugh.
No, I'm a clear alcohol guy.
I like a silver tequila, but it's like... I can't.
No.
Vodka for me. I'm just vodka. Let me just get a vodka tequila. Lime and I'm fine.
Bro, I used to not be a fan
vodka
of tequila.
Soda.
I didn't hate
tequila's
it.
Tequila's wonderful.
I used to hate it because it would make me an angry drunk and I would call bartenders like the C word that are female and get kicked out of places. Not a true story at all.
Not at all.
Sorry, that club in Belltown.
but I was in Belltown.
They're
who
closed
cares?
Now, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they were... Yeah, she was a bitch anyway.
She was snotty.
But I used to just be way too aggressive when I'd get drunk on tequila. So I stayed away from it from forever. And then one day I had it and I got drunk off of tequila and I never was happier. I'm like, okay, just like food, your taste changes every 5 years. Apparently, my drunken state on tequila changed. And now I could get wasted on tequila all night long and I am the happiest. It's almost like being on like a hallucinogenic in a sense.
Yeah, dude, I'm
just happy.
I'm a serial hugger on tequila, but I'm a serial hugger
cereal
on
tequila,
whiskey too.
Next level.
Vodka, I just have had too many paint thinner vodka experiences, man. I can't. Like if you gave me a chilled Kettle One, I'd be like, oh God, that is delicious. But then anything below that.
Oh yeah.
If it's not Grey Goose or Kettle One, I've done so much. I just can't drink vodka.
That good old Monarch.
It's ruined for me, dude.
Plastic like Tito's, bottle. To me, Tito's is the perfect vodka.
I like
it's affordable,
Tito's a lot, yeah.
And it goes down smooth. And it's just like that perfect mid to upper range. I don't really want to drop like crap money on Belvedere when I get the same effect.
I got Tito's
whiskey
at the home bar, and that's just
whiskey
what I
love you,
up
dude.
There.
Love Tito's.
A little sour mash.
Yeah, I like Tito.
Come on, man.
I like Tito, man. Tito and me, like we can like hang out all night, and I never get wasted. I get drunk, but I never get blacked out on vodka. I don't know what it is about vodka, but I could just drink all night on it.
How can anything in Kentucky, born in Kentucky, be bad for you?
I mean, the fried chicken is delicious there.
They know things in Kentucky.
The colonel knows what's up.
11 herbs and spices.
We be the eyes.
The colonel knows.
The pentaveret.
Can we go back to Vancouver?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Actually, man, I was talking to Tawny about sometime this summer after the Airbnb experience. Again, the Airbnb thing. Talking to Tawny about just heading up to Vancouver for a weekend.
Yeah.
Basically, crash an Airbnb and just... Run around town and have sushi. Because you could do it.
Yeah, you went nuts on the sushi.
Bro.
It was so cheap.
It's like going to McDonald's.
It was so cheap.
That's how cheap it
McDonald's
is.
McDonald's is more expensive, man. It was crazy, dude. Because
you could leave it on $30. You would be so full.
Oh, my
on
God.
Good sushi.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
but then
good
I,
sushi.
I'm just thinking about doing any, even the conveyor belt sushi, I mean, you know, rip.
$30.
It was very expensive in Seattle to get anything.
No, I'm thinking like you go to Wasabi or Umi or Nijo.
Yeah.
You want to get a couple rolls, especially as a date. You're dropping $80 to $100.
Good
stuff.
You probably aren't even full.
Bro.
Like, it's good, but you go there.
The portions are huge.
Portions are huge. The fish is so fresh.
Mm. It ends up being like
$6.
You know, it's like $9.50
Canadian.
And then you forget that that's $9.50. It's like, oh, that's only about $7.25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Neil Limsang, man. It was
he was
like,
right.
Dude, he was like, let me show you. Because I was like, dude, I want to eat sushi, but I can't afford it. He's like, Glenn, you're not getting it.
You know the best part was?
Yeah, dude.
Part of why I love Bruiser Brody. Like, yeah, we, of course, want to save some money and possibly put it towards a future record so we could record.
Yeah.
We eat like Vikings at this sushi place the first time we went. That one that Neil first introduced us to. I mean,
Jeff said he had never seen, there were six of us, and he's like, I've never seen six people put down that much sushi in one sitting in my entire life.
Dude, like Vikings.
Like we did it, bro. We did it.
Levi staggered all his orders, so like it seemed like at any given moment a new role was coming to him throughout
good
the entire
call.
Dude. Yeah. I'm like
huge portions.
And
dude.
So it's over and I'm like, gosh, I'm probably going to order. I probably got about $40 worth of sushi, but you know what? Worth every penny. Cause I was buying some that other people could try too, like the sushi pizza.
Oh God.
And then, so I'm waiting for the bill. And then all of a sudden, like JT goes, let's go. And we're like, why? He goes, oh, I already paid for it. I'm like, JT, that was really nice. And he goes, no, thank us.
He's like, I used it.
He's like, the band paid for it. I'm like, this is the best band ever.
Yeah, I know. I know. You know, I bet, in truth,
thank us.
Given the pricing for the six of us, I'd bet that bill was less than $100.
Yeah. I would say at tops, $150.
And that's pushing it. The six of us to a degree that was.
We didn't eat for the rest of the night.
Dude, yeah, because it was frightening.
Yeah.
Well, actually, wow. I think later on when I was super hammered, I made like a dry sandwich.
Oh, I don't count that.
Like Jeff walked in, I had like lunch meat hanging out of my mouth. I was like, how you doing, bro? Any whiskey left? No, that's gone now.
I think there was a moment in that night where I was walking around the club at the Commodore Ballroom just eating a banana while Steel Panther is playing.
That's rock and roll as F.
I walk out. I remember a couple people looked at me
just
like.
Just all loaded, walking through the crowd, eating a banana like, yep.
Yeah, this my banana, what of it?
Let's find some random guy that loves RC. Hey, dude, let me get you a drink. Sure, I'm having a shot while I have a banana in my hand.
gotta get that potassium.
Yeah, in my head, I'm like, man, I just.
That way you won't bruise as deeply.
I didn't want to eat the banana then. I just wanted to be the banana guy. Yeah. Walking around with the freaking banana.
You never want to be the banana guy.
No, you're right. Levi wouldn't have appreciated that at the end of the night if I'm the banana guy.
I think we mentioned that before, but. You get up each morning kind of like, wow, I thought I'd be more hungover. I feel pretty good. And then Levi has just come back from like a 6-mile run and a 20-minute yoga routine.
Yep.
And you're kind of going, wow, I feel better than I thought I would. And then you look at Levi and you're like, I'm an idiot.
Oh, we're losers.
I'm a loser.
Like, Levi, what have you been up to? He goes, I ran like 7 miles. I did some yoga, bought new sneakers, and got a haircut.
Yeah.
I'm like, I haven't even gotten out of my pajama pants.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like the one morning he got up, went for a jog, did his yoga routine. Then had some kind of a conference meeting.
A conference call with some big wigs in the marijuana industry.
Yeah, yeah. He took care of all this business. And, like, we were crawling out of bed and, like, you know, doing kind of an assessment of the damages.
Yeah.
And he had set up, like, 5 deals and done this and that. And he's like, hey, guys, good morning. And it's like, God, I'm a loser.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man acting
and
like
right now,
this.
I'm dipping a pretzel in a jar of peanut butter.
Straight up.
It might just be like a weed thing, though, because when I went to Alaska with Ricker, he was the same thing, man. We actually had an exercise room in our Airbnb. They had, like, kind of a mudroom that they just put a bunch of exercise equipment in. He was on that for, like, 45 minutes and then doing yoga. And I'm like, and it's same thing. I'm just like, oh, well, there's a giant candy dish over there. Let me get myself $100,000.
My cardio is playing drums.
It was extraordinarily educational because as the weekend unfolds, get chatting, and you find out that Levi, since he got into the hemp industry, really doesn't smoke much anymore.
No.
He stays on point.
Interesting.
He was 1,000% sober the entire time.
Yeah, he's sober the whole time.
Wow.
Didn't even smoke a joint or anything, but he's business-minded, sharp. He's on point. He's taking care of things. And you look at that, and you're like, well, that's why this guy's kicking ass at life.
Yeah.
He's sober. He's focused. You know, I'm chugging Jack Daniels, and I'll take a hit on that joint. No,
you're doing fine. You know?
Shots of tequila with a banana in my hand.
Where'd you find that bag? I'll just tap a little of that in my eyeball. Let's see what happens next. You know, like, that's why Levi's winning.
Color.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's why Levi's just on point, man. The guy's golden god status. He's got it all figured out.
Highly recommend that, dude. If you ever for whatever it is, just if you just need someone to talk to in life, he's just the guy. Party buses, band promotion,
rent the party
marijuana.
Bus so you can just get
just
a therapy session.
I'm picturing me sitting down with him and being like, Levi, man, look, what am I doing wrong? He would just smile, shake his head.
The doctor is in.
He would smile, shake his head, and just hug me and kind of pat me, you know?
He had somehow convinced.
I can't answer that, Glenn. I can't answer it.
He convinced, a pot shop there in Vancouver, he had them convinced like we were way more important than we were.
Oh, dude.
Like, we walked in
there.
You
guys are very important.
They're handing us all this free product.
Like a Seth Rogen brand weed.
Yes. They gave us like ounces of weed.
Wow.
And took pictures with us, like, as if I think they were going to put them on their wall. Like, he just had them convinced. I mean, he got them in, a couple of the guys into one of our shows. So, I mean, they saw us play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we weren't Steel Panther. We were Bruiser Brody. And we were being treated like we were Metallica.
That's awesome.
It was phenomenal.
That is so cool.
It's all Levi.
And behaving like we were Trickster.
Yes. Or Enough's Enough.
That went over my head there.
Rev, what was the weekend like for you, man?
Oh, dude, my weekend was insane.
I saw you were cleaning people's stuff.
Well, Friday was pretty normal. Kind of went to bed early because Saturday was
Busy is an understatement for me, man. It was like, so we ended up doing a parks cleanup because I'm trying to be, you know, community sort of guy.
It's a man about town.
Yeah, a little bit on
Tacoma's
that
Tacoma's finest.
Exactly. And so the local park.
I saw him beating homeless with a shovel earlier.
No, it's part no.
Of, he's
wasn't
just trying
me.
To clean up that block.
Wasn't me.
He's like, you stay out of Tacoma. Go back to Seattle.
So at like 9 a.m. we had a big old parks cleanup. So we were going around the local park and picking up trash and doing little weeding in one of their little memorial
you
gardens.
You find anything upsetting in the park?
No. Like, our park is pretty clean.
Like a leg?
No, there was nothing.
Like, I was thinking like a soiled condom or,
no,
you know, like a discarded fleshlight or just stuff that you don't want to see.
The strangest thing was Michelle found a pair of mildewed waterlogged moccasins.
Moccasins?
Yeah. So, like, that was kind of, like, strange. But beyond that, like, I mean, I was going to get up early anyway because the power in our house and our whole neighborhood was like dead for like 5 hours.
So on
7
Saturday?
Yeah, 7 a.m. to noon. They were doing some power work. And so it was like, well, there's literally nothing going on at the house. So we might as well go out to the park and clean. So we did a little bit of that. And then we ended up going to, have you ever heard of McMiniman's?
Yes.
Yes.
So they're the ones that will do like, they have the one in Seattle, just the brewery in Seattle. But they'll do stuff like they'll take old historical places, compounds essentially, and then they'll refurbish them and put bars in and hotels.
They did that
and
in Bothell because Ted Smith told me about it on a past episode of the MegaCast where it's like they took an old high school, gutted it out, and now made it like a bunch of bars and a hotel in the school.
Yeah, my wife used to go to that school. She got dropped off for like the YMCA like breakfast program sort of
Ted
thing.
Ted and I are talking about just getting a room there and just going balls
it's
out.
It's fantastic. There they've got like a pool. They've got like a tiki bar. They've got in the old wood shop. It's called the wood shop, and it's the sports bar.
Freaking awesome.
So that's what they do up at Bothell. Well, they just opened one in Tacoma.
It's my kind of school.
Right. Dude, yeah. Like School of Rock on that one. It's really amazing. So they just did that down in Tacoma at the old Elks temple. So the old Elks Club. So they refurbished this old building, old historical building, into a 7-floor just insane place. So we ended up going there for lunch and doing a tour of the area and literally just getting a drink and walking around. They've got 5 bars in there, including one that's hidden behind a wall underneath the sidewalk in front of the building. So when you're sitting under this itty bitty room with a bar and like 20, like they can fit 20 people, you can see people walking above you because they have little like see-through lights and stuff like that to do it. It was amazing. And they have a little tiki bar that was pretty fantastic. Got a burger that was way too freaking hot. It's called the Krakatoa Burger, and
hot as in spice.
Yeah, spicy,
but there's also a live music venue called the Spanish Ballroom, I think.
Yeah, the Spanish
Ballroom.
The
Melvins are playing there. Mudhoney's going to be playing there.
So, apparently,
we might do a wrestling show there.
Really?
Fingers crossed.
Chris Novoselic did his band that he's rolling with
Giant
now.
In the Trees or something like that?
Yeah. They played like, it opened up last Wednesday, so I think they did the opening thing. He's got his own room. They name each of the rooms off of luminaries in the Pacific Northwest, so
historical
figures, like literally the Puyallup tribe has a room.
So if he shows up, can he just stay there even if people aren't
there? I don't know. It's weird.
Hey, it's my room.
Like, there's a picture of like him almost looking like Jesus, like a painting, and it's like right next to his room.
That's right.
And it's like, it's so insane.
Look at that venue.
It is pretty.
I mentioned it to JT.
In Tacoma?
I was like, JT, we need to get a show there.
I really want to play there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, seriously.
Let's get a show. Let's do a show
there. That's look at that place.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
So, guys, you know, it's an audio program, but they have these beautiful chandeliers.
Type in Spanish Ballroom in Facebook and you'll find it.
It is really happening. It's gorgeous.
And these people go all out. So they've done it all over the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. And man,
dude,
it is so nice and it's so beautiful. First off, they've got a hotel.
Miniman's Spanish Ballroom at the Elks Temple.
Yeah, the Elks Temple. They've got, and the one problem is the fact that if you want to try to get a room there, good freaking luck. I think it's booked up at least through like December.
Yeah.
But I mean, that makes sense in that sort of term. But you can just go and hang out.
Not if you're Chris Novoselic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think he just gets in like he gets to just live there if you wanted
to. It's cool. I'm looking at some of the pictures on their Facebook page, and one of them just shows like it gutted out when how it used to look.
Yeah. And
Each floor will have a picture of what it was. So it's like a lot of it's like super graffiti, just kind of a wreck. Because, I mean, it was there, sitting there for a really long time, and nobody had done anything with it. And then they came in, and it took a long time for them to actually be able to purchase it and make sure and renovate it. It's been a long time coming for this.
Yeah, Mudhoney's playing June 14th there.
Wow. Which is pretty freaking cool. Yeah. And I love it.
And I saw that the Melvins are there. I don't know when, but I saw that they were on their little list. Oh, Glenn. It says Glenn's playing there.
Glenn?
Yep. Just Glenn with Baja Boy and Sean Parker, May 4th.
It's not me.
Oh.
Melvins, May 3rd.
I want it to be me.
Oh, that's this Friday.
Oh.
Wow.
Soon.
Oh. Ah.
Soon.
Oh.
It's been tough because I, you know, clubs book 3 and 4 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really, really need to get things rolling into high gear for my project.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't have any music. So I can show them pictures.
Oh, is this for the new band, Retired Ballerina?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. For the spinoff project, Retarded Ballerina. She does everything that Retired Ballerina does, just a little slower.
Yeah. A little bit. A little bit.
A little more donor rock version.
A little bit more down.
It's been tough, like, reaching out, like, you know, I can't. I have no music yet to give them. I can show them photos, and you can reference Windowpane
or
Bruiser Brody.
Do you have any rough mixes at least to give them?
Actually, I've got the final mixes, which are redonkulous, mind blown. I'll share them with you guys. You just got to crank them.
Yeah.
Because I've shared them. I usually
crank them when I think of you.
Right? I crank a lot.
They're unmastered, so they're super quiet, but I'll send you guys both a lot.
I'd love to hear it, yeah.
You turn it up and... Yeah, I'm completely blown away.
On a quick side note, Travis sent me one of his new songs from this.
Sounding cool.
I can't wait to hear it.
I know, right?
It's a song that he wrote after the passing of Sean Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like fresh.
Wow, yeah.
And I played it for my wife too, and I was just like, he sent it to me, and I listened to it like the entire drive into Seattle, so on loop, that one song, just zoning out. And I was like, this is it. He somehow captured the spirit of Sean Smith and his piano style.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, even Sid, when she heard it, she's like, it sounds like a Brad song almost.
Wow.
Not like a ripoff of a Brad song. It just sounds like if it was Sean Smith singing on it, you would be like, oh, yeah, this sounds like something that Sean Smith would write. It's next level.
Cool.
Like, it's legit. I'm super proud of him.
I cannot wait to hear what those guys have done and are doing.
And it's
doing.
Just him and a piano, one take.
That's cool.
Mm.
It's so good.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that's very, you know, I know James put up a big thing about how they just went after it. Not unrehearsed, but like, let's go make a record. And that's also Kelly Gray's big on that too. Like, look, let's capture performances. It's one of the things I love about working with Brett's the same way. We got together a total of 6 times, went in the studio, and just boom, and let's capture performances.
Yeah, less about being so perfect.
Yeah. But yeah. I can't wait to hear, because I know Travis's record's going to be just organic as hell. I can't wait to hear what he did. Cannot wait to hear what he did.
So, super stoked for both your guys.
Oh, I know,
stuff.
Dude.
Like, it's really exciting for this.
Well, I'm doing my own solo record too now.
Oh, are you now?
I got my own solo record, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna sing
drumming with Jesus.
Well, if we get
imagine if I did a solo record. Oh, I can't really. I'm sorry, I can't.
But that's the thing is, what would it sound like if it was just Steve?
I don't know. It would sound bad.
No, I mean, the drums would be fantastic.
The drums would be. But you expecting me to play the guitar?
You could. Oh. Oh,
no, yeah, man,
I don't have to. That's true.
You can throw in a couple drum loops and some cool, like, square wave boxy synth stuff.
Or I
and
just then sing. Just,
yeah.
Hey.
To make it like that Lord song where the whole song is basically just layers upon layers upon layers of your voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or like the Billie Eilish sort of
somebody
stuff.
Somebody
right
get
there.
With auto tune.
Oh, I can AT the hell out of you, buddy.
I'm like, how you doing? Sorry. Oh, jeez.
So yeah, you gotta get these clubs your freaking music. That's gonna be awesome.
I'm just saying. Like, it was just as you bring that up, I'm like, God, I want to get. Oh, I don't have anything yet. But it's we'll be going to mastering very, very soon. I mean, everything's done. The mixes are done. The sequence is done. I just haven't pulled the trigger on mastering yet.
Yeah.
So
are you using the same guy that Bruiser Brody used?
Oh yeah, we're gonna go to Mayor for sure.
Oh nice.
Because I think what Mayor did on the Brody record was, especially given the way the Brody record was.
Yeah.
Kind of thrown together. You know, bless Brett's heart. He really.
Oh, Brett killed it.
He really brought it up.
And Mayer definitely smoothed it out.
Yeah. Well, he had, you know, we had the Lang's gave us the room for free, which was great, but we had kind of student engineers, and there was phasing issues, and stuff wasn't mic'd, and this channel turned out to be dead, and the only way we could get cymbals on this track is through the snare drum mic, and so like Brett had to work a lot of magic, and then he gave the two separate sessions to Mayor, like, can we make this sound like one record?
and
Mayor did a really great job. Yeah. So yeah, upon hearing that, like, I had decided clear back then, whatever I did next was going to go to Mayo.
No, I know so. Whenever the time comes for a second Brody record, we're definitely going to go through him.
Good God, yes.
Obviously, Brett as well. And
dude, yeah.
We'll see what the future holds and everything else.
You know, especially like, and I will, when I get home today, I'll Dropbox you guys both links. I said, turn it way up. It's super quiet.
I got a new car with a bitch in stereo, so
just crank it, man. But.
Oh, yeah, congratulations, dude.
Thank you.
Oh, did you get a new car?
Let me show you. Didn't I tell you, like, my life is a series of exciting news, and then somebody poops in my punch bowl?
Yeah!
So I got another example of that. So I got a new car.
You know those things break down all the time.
Right? Really? I got a Jeep Renegade.
Oh, so it's beautiful.
It's a mini SUV. It's a Trailhawk
version.
What year?
It's a newer.
2017.
Yeah.
God, Steve, that's magnificent.
With the Jeep return, and I had some extra money through some stuff, I was able to buy it outright. So I have no car payments.
Yes!
Congratulations on that.
Best part. So I go there. Dude. I go right there my Jeep. I'm like, yeah, I want to trade in my Jeep. They're like, oh, it's a nice Jeep. What year? I'm like, 2009. But here's the thing, guys. It's got 343,000 miles on it. And they're all like, that became the joke. I went to Milam Trucks over
in
Puyallup.
When you told me the mileage on it and explained that you never had an issue,
yeah,
it kind of...
It's like, oh, dang.
I don't want to say it blew my mind, but I'm like, really?
What a commercial for Jeep.
So like, you didn't lose a header gasket. It doesn't have, you know, like, it's, you know... You just don't hear about that very
well. And that was the thing. Like, it was like
the only vehicle I've ever owned that was that high mileage on the factory engine that still ran like a Swiss watch was my Pontiac, and it was built in 1966. And it had, I mean, on the transmission was a fresh rebuild, and I'd done some maintenance stuff to the motor, but I'm talking like water pump and stuff. It wasn't a rebuild, it was the motor.
Yeah, yeah.
That car had just under 500,000 miles.
God damn.
I wanted to.
See, they built cars back then. New cars don't do that. So when Steve was like, yeah, it's got over 300,000 miles on a Jeep, I'm like, oh, what all do you have to do? He's like, I changed the oil once. I was like,
yeah.
What?
Changes.
What?
Obviously, new tires from time to time, brake pads from time to time. And other than that, a battery, two battery replacements, because one was faulty. But other than that.
I mean, that's a serious voucher for a vehicle. I mean,
Jeep Wrangler. Yeah.
That's incredible, man.
And so I bring it in. They're like, oh my gosh. So then they're like, look, how much do you want for this?
It's like the Blues Brothers. When he walks away, the Jeep falls apart,
right?
Like, literally falls apart.
So they're like, how much do you want? You realize, I'm like, look, I'm aware that it has a lot of miles. I'm not expecting that I'm going to get what typically you would get for it. So just whatever you think is fair. And in my head, I'm thinking, if I could get like $500,
that's usually what I hear when I get those,
I'd be more than happy, right? So the guy does the numbers. He comes back. He goes, first off, please do not take this. Like, I hope I'm not insulting you with this offer. So please don't take it that way. I'm like, dude, it's a car.
Just tell me. Yeah.
Just whatever you think.
Just
he goes,
tell me.
And he explains, keeps going. And I'm like, just say it.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And he goes, I hate saying this. You could get a lot more if there was like half the amount of miles. I could probably double the amount. The best I could do is $4,000.
Yes.
Dude.
And I look at him. I'm like, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even play poker with him on that. I was like, that is more than what I thought. $4,000.
You got to figure if they're taking it on trade... Normally,
they can ding it up a bit, right? Yeah.
I mean, normally, what you're gonna
just
do
shows the value of a Jeep.
God,
what
yeah.
you're gonna do is you take it in on trade, and you want basically roughly the goal is 50% or less,
which
means they would plan to sell it for $8,000. So, I bet what they did is they're not gonna sell that thing for $8,000,
yeah.
They probably just discounted the hell out of your new vehicle to cover the difference,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that is...
I was fine by that.
You couldn't have sold it privately for that.
No, and that's the thing.
You couldn't have sold it privately.
I wouldn't want the headache of trying to sell it,
and God,
I definitely wouldn't have been able to sell it for $4,000.
Well, even as nice as it is, and I've seen your Jeep, and it was nice.
No, but it's got $343,000
Yeah, you see the odometer, it's like, well, the wheels are going to fall off next week.
Right?
You know, yeah.
I'm just waiting for the ball to drop, and that's kind of what I was like. I'm like, I
it's kind of like
Cher.
It looks amazing, but you know that frame is like 80 years old.
It's seen some miles, man.
What's the saying? It's good from far, but far from good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I go through all this, and shout out to the two Todds and Rocky over at Milam Trucks. They also do Mazdas, but dude, they were great. And I'm not saying as a commercial, like they don't advertise at our station. I think they once did back in the day because I knew that.
You guys run them off.
Here's the crazy part. How about this? So I went online and I typed in. I was like, I knew I wanted to get a Jeep Renegade just because I still wanted an SUV. I wanted to save some gas mileage, and I just wanted something that was not a huge giant vehicle, but I could still have my hockey gear, still have my drums, and just, you know, get a newer car. So I go online and I'm like, well, I don't like the Jeep Renegade in general in most colors, but it looks sharp and white with black wheels.
Yeah, I think the thing's really, you saw the picture, right? Have you seen it?
I saw it, and I was like, congratulations on getting a white car. Good luck washing that
thing. I'll be washing it. But so I was like,
weirdly, black cars show off the dirt more.
And that's the thing. I was like, either full black or all white.
You'd be surprised how dirty you can let them get. Honest to God, I know it sounds weird,
we'll find out.
It's true.
Yeah, how dirty are you going to get it?
Good on you.
I'm already almost a weekend.
There's already blood and fur in the grill, dude.
Yeah. So I was like, if I could find one in that style, I will do it because it's so affordable. A used one is it's like under 18 grand. Like, you know, I mean, even less than that. Like, I got it for a great deal and I was able to pay it out, and I'm not rolling in the cash. So anyways, I go through all that and I find the ones I want. I found three that I liked in the Washington area, but the best one was at Milam. So I'm like, let's go there first. If I like it, I'm just getting it. Screw it, right? We pull in, we park the car. As I'm walking to the door, I watch that white Jeep Renegade drive off the lot. Somebody was going on a test drive. And I'm like, oh, you got to be effing.
Did you keep your Jeep pipe? You could have whipped it at the windshield.
I should have. So I'm like,
you have, right?
I forgot about that.
Dude, what?
So I'm like, what are, and I look at Sid, and I'm like, what are the freaking odds that I'm hell-bent for a week on getting this vehicle? But I'm like, let's wait till Saturday. We could go together instead of being Mr. Impulsive.
I'm just picturing this nice lady driving out of the Jeep dealership.
Oh, I wanted to kill her.
Wondering why this tattooed bald guy is just glaring at her.
Welcome to the poop in the punch bowl.
Staring at her.
That's not even that.
That man really looked very angry.
Jeez. So anyways, now we wait. And they're like, well, we have a yellow one. You like that one? I'm like, no. And then the guy that's trying to sell the car to that couple, like my sales guy, he's like, hey, man, so what's going on with them? Do they like it? He's like, yeah, they're trying out the white one. They're like, well, which one do you think they like better, the yellow one or the white one? He's like, oh, the white one. They don't like the yellow one at all. I'm like, son of a bitch.
No one wants that yellow Jeep, dude.
So the guy's like, just
who
wait.
Who wants the short bus?
That's right.
Just in case.
That's right.
So they come back, and I'm like, gosh, this is going to suck.
Come on.
I'm like, I don't want to get involved in like making them feel like, so I'm waiting. All of a sudden, the guy that's trying to sell it to them, they must have said, hey, we're going to think about it. He gives a thumbs up to my guy. So my guy goes over there, grabs the keys, and goes, take it, go. Just take it on a test drive. They're hemming and hawing. Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Like, yoink.
So I go give it a test drive, and I'm like, babe, I know it sounds crazy, but she's like, you don't want to check the other places? I'm like, I did the online reviews of the two dealerships. One had 1-star average. One had 4.5 stars out of 5.
Let's go to 4.5.
We are at the 4.5-star one. Let's stay there. I liked everybody that we met there. You know, it's just to get that vibe.
Plus, Sid's already gagged and bound the couple, and they find him in the restroom like the next day.
You got that dark side, man.
Yeah. Sid takes care of business, man. It's not dark. It's just the way things are.
The funny part was I learned rather quick. It's another example of why Sid and I are so different. She's so fancy, and like things need to be new and this and that. She's like, I wouldn't. She's like, do you like it? I'm like, I freaking love it. She's like, but it has a little crack in the little, like, where the screen is for the odometer, like a little hairline crack, like a crack on your screen on your phone. And I'm like, I don't care about that. She's like, that would drive me nuts. I'm like, I'm not staring at that, like, ever.
Why not, Steven?
Yeah.
Right. That's how you know how fast you're going.
There's a little, she's like, there's a little
irresponsible.
Hey, yeah, huh?
Irresponsible.
I learned that lesson when we left. She's like, you're going 80 miles per hour. Do you know that?
I'm
like,
I couldn't see through the crack.
Didn't feel
I've got
it.
A bifocal speedometer.
Like, I feel pretty good.
Compared to a Jeep Wrangler, this feels like a Mercedes. So then there's like a little bit of like a worn in spot on the gear shifter. She's like, I wouldn't handle that. And then she saw a scratch on the outside of the car. What about this? I'm like, do you realize I'm going to do a lot worse to this car?
Yeah.
You saw how my Jeep looked on the inside. It was food stains everywhere. I bought it new.
It's all the grease from Steve's collective French fry sins.
Right.
You know? So he's a fry sinner.
I'm like, hey, goddamn fry sinner, dude.
Sinners.
This car is immaculate compared to what I'm going to do
to
it.
What's up, McDouble?
Exactly. So I get it. Everything's great. Everyone there is awesome. I'm feeling good. Go on the air. We're talking about it. I gave him a shout out, Todd and all them. And I was like, shared the story. And of course, someone goes, you know, that's a girl's SUV.
What?
And I'm like, yeah, what do I don't care. And you know what the funny part
There's always one, dude.
My wife brought that up. She's like, I only see women driving that. I'm like, I don't care. And then I started paying attention. I'm like, wow, she's right. There's pretty much only women driving this Jeep Renegade.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Then who?
I am not.
I've got your back on that, dude.
And I'm not the guy that subscribes to the man's man mentality. I do plenty of things that would. I like Grey's Anatomy. I drive a Jeep Renegade.
And you wrestle.
And I wrestle.
See, you
oiled
can have
up
a
men.
I was going to say, you have a good balance there, but then you throw out the...
Well, my bad. In their underwear. No.
Oh, no.
Right, tights. They're in tight trunks.
You do like Grease, too, which I find suspect.
Right? So it's funny when somebody wants to try and, quote-unquote, take my man card. I turned my man card in when I was 13.
Yeah, like, don't worry about
it,
guys.
Shut the hell up, people. But and then another person's like, I hope you got the warranty. And I'm like,
dude, I know.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for pooping in my punch bowl.
There's always somebody, dude.
Dude, I've been having
two to three of them every time.
I've been having to deal with that whole poo in the punch bowl this weekend. I mean, seriously, like,
I love that that's our term now.
Well, it was one of these, like,
you're a punch bowl pooper.
One of the most emotional nerd weekends ever.
Yeah. So
Avengers Endgame happened.
Right.
And we talked about it on Friday on Beat Migs and stuff. Yep. Or not Beat Migs, but BJ
and
Migs.
Were you in a fancy hotel at some point this weekend?
That was the
Man About Town?
That was the McMenamins. That was the hotel.
Okay, that's what I saw.
That's what that was.
It's coming together.
I thought I missed a chapter in the Rev, and I don't want to miss anything.
Don't
want to miss a thing.
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to go there, and then
sorry
you did.
Sorry about that, dude.
You did that. So, yeah, Thursday, I went and saw Avengers Endgame, and oh my God, just like...
Killer.
Yeah, I don't cry at movies.
Right.
I cried a lot during this movie.
It's true,
I
took him to see Philadelphia, and he like stood up and pointed at the screen and laughed, which I thought was maybe a little strange, but
While holding it wasn't a comedy?
He was holding a Go Aid sign. It was very odd.
I thought it was something else entirely. So I had that, all these emotions going on, and then Sunday ended up watching Game of Thrones.
Dude.
People were trying to spoil it on Twitter or were spoiling it on Twitter before this stupid episode was over.
My God.
Dude, I just put up a funny post of me sitting on that dragon at the amusement park.
Which was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And all it said was, you know, if you've heard of Game of Thrones, you know there's dragons in it.
Yeah.
Okay? But I had several people who was like, hashtags, no spoilers.
People are too on
and
edge
I'm like,
about that.
I'm like, hey, man, there's this.
It's not. It's not a spoiler. It's me riding a
fiberglass dragon. This is me on a fiberglass dragon.
Quick question, Glenn.
There's no spoilers.
By that fiberglass dragon, was there a sign that said anything?
This is my favorite part of the photo.
What did the sign say?
What did that say, Glenn?
My absolute favorite part of that photo is directly to my right. There's a small sign.
You have to look.
Yeah.
And it says, please do not climb on the dragon.
I think it said, please don't ride the dragon.
And Glenn is full on sitting on the dragon with his feet in the air.
Like he's riding a roller
coaster going,
I'll put it on the Migscast page. So I'll do that now. Yeah.
Game of Thrones was going on. Had to watch it right away.
Killer. It was amazing.
But the thing is it's like all of a sudden all these people are bitching and complaining. And it's like, oh, these tactics on these fictional characters isn't correct. And why are they doing it this way? And oh my God, it's too dark to see. And I'm like,
well, that part I liked.
Well, and that's the thing though. It's like, you're watching a show right now that is going for a horror aspect. This episode was a survival horror episode where people are running from the dead. It should be dark. It should be evil. He's not called the Middle of the Day King. He's called the Night King. So there are these parts and these aspects of it.
N-I-G-H or K-N-I-G?
Just at the end. No K.
Here's the thing, because Tony and I talked about that too, and there are parts where it's so dark that you can barely tell what's going on.
Yes.
And literally what Tawny said was, I love the way they made you feel like you were there.
Yes.
And I said, exactly. It's because there are people like, I can't see what's happening.
Or it's too chaotic. And I'm like,
it's like, I didn't like Jaws because I couldn't see the shark. And it's like part of what made Jaws so terrifying is that you really didn't get to see the shark till the end of the movie.
The suspense.
And so even all you know is all hell is breaking loose. And then when you do get a moment where you can kind of see what's happening, you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And it is so, like, yeah. I was so tense watching it. I thought it was beautifully and brilliantly done.
Wow.
And
it's even going.
Yeah, it was incredible, dude. Like, for television?
Yeah.
That's a, I've seen movies that aren't that good. That episode was.
And so it was dealing with all of those nitpickers and all those little pains in the ass. And finally, there actually came kind of a tide of people coming back and talking about how awesome it was. So it was one of those things where at least there was a little bit of a redemption there.
Yeah.
And just being able to get into it. And yeah, like.
People just poop on things before they even let it process.
Exactly. It's that,
that makes sense.
Well, it's the clickbait stuff. They won't, people won't read an article. They'll look at the headline and be like, well, that's not right.
And you're
like,
and if you read the article, you're like, it has nothing really to do with the headline.
It's. I tweeted this out. It was like, well, at least Star Wars fans and Game of Thrones fans have one thing in common, and it's bitching about things that.
And wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing. Well, it's like, it's not going the way I want it to go.
I hear you, but The Last Jedi is still a goddamn hot mess.
Better than Empire Strikes Back.
Whoa, God, wow.
Hot take.
Yeah, I just like saying that because Glenn has reactions like that.
Yeah. One quick thing before I forget, I wanted to give a shout out.
I would watch you kick a baby and I'd be like, ha, but you say stuff like that.
I know.
Just cuts me.
I know.
Me. Just cuts
me. I know.
Me.
Look at that.
I want to give a shout out to Kimball B on Facebook, going back to my car thing.
He
posted a picture of himself in front of a blue Jeep that happens to be mine. And apparently he works at Milam.
He's like, this thing's rad, dude.
He goes,
everyone can shut up.
This is great. I work at a car dealership. I get to work on this lovely 2009 Jeep with almost 350,000 miles. Here's the kicker. And two dead mice in the fan shroud. Thanks, Migs. Ha ha.
Wait, what?
So I respond. I'm like, two dead mice? Holy smokes. He goes, all in a day's work, but you definitely took good care of this thing, which made me feel good about myself.
What's the fan shroud?
Ivy.
So on the back of the radiator.
Okay.
There is a thing that's the same size as the radiator, but then it's kind of a plastic sleeve.
Oh, okay.
That empties, it terminates into a hole that's the exact size as the fan.
Okay, yeah.
And so the effect of that is the fan then, it's sort of like a funnel, if you will, like an air funnel.
All right, yeah.
So the fan draws more air through the radiator to cool the vehicle.
So there was dead mice in there?
There were dead mice in your
fan
shroud.
Did you, like, did it
ever smell
weird?
They probably crawled up there in the winter because it was warm.
Yeah, that's.
And then they checked out.
Well, I saw this.
Mice check in, but they don't check out.
Or it was like a notebook thing, and maybe they were both dying from kind of a disease, and they were married, and they decided they wanted to go out together, so they did it in my car.
Oh, so
that's how I like to think of it. It's a romance story between two dead mice.
Romeo and Fible.
Yes. Well, anyways, I see this, so I was like.
Or would it be Fible and Juliet?
Yeah, sure, why not?
These days, whatever.
And I'm like, oh, I got to show this to Sid. This is a funny story. Like, how about that? And then I thought, that means
she'll lose it.
There might be a mouse or two in my garage where our Jeep is.
Yeah.
Which I have never seen any mouse droppings. There's a good chance it could have happened somewhere else, but there's also a really good chance it happened in our
they
garage.
Carry away their dead. It's impossible to estimate their numbers.
Well, anyways, I'm like, I ain't telling her this because
no.
She's going to freak out that there's mice in our garage.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen in 10 years.
But here's the thing. You don't need to see
the
it.
Mice come out at night.
Yeah, that's exactly like, there's going to be a simple fact if she's going to think that there are now mice in the house.
Which I do not need her to know, to think. They've never been a problem. The mice, I've never found like dead mice anywhere.
You want to watch an American Tale with her.
Yeah.
And midway through, when she's like, oh, Fibo's so cute, you'd be like, you know.
So here's the
funny story.
By the way, they're not rats, so don't worry about that.
Right.
We've got rats. We don't have rats at our house. We have rats around our house.
What a crappy way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, in a car.
Right? Like, well, you're like hanging out. You're like, oh, this is so warm and toasty. And
dude, you guys, you've all seen the photos, and it happens frequently. The big snakes will crawl up on the engine block because it feels warm.
Yeah.
And then so-and-so starts their car, and they drive to work. So now the snake's on the motor, which is now increasing in temperature. What happens is the snakes get cooked alive, and they burst.
Ah!
Now,
that's a nice visual.
I wasn't expecting the burst.
No, they burst. They pop. But the problem is, pimple. Like, I know that snakes don't have eyebrows, but that doesn't mean they don't have feelings. And I just think that's a real bummer, dude.
Yeah,
right.
You know what? It really,
that's a bummer.
Really is.
You know?
Poor snake.
Yeah, if you had a snake on your property, you wouldn't have mice, dude.
That's a good point.
You tell Sid I'm going to sort this out.
We ain't telling Sid any of this.
And I'll bring down a mongoose to hunt the snake.
Oh, yeah. Rikki-tikki tabby. We got to get that to happen.
Right?
But then it's just like, I mean, that is just, what a way to go. Yeah. Cats do. Yeah. Also, cats go into cars
for
the warmth.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Warm,
you'll hear it, you'll hear it in like the wheel well or something like
but
that.
But they're smart enough to get the F out when you start that damn car.
You hope.
Well, I haven't heard any stories. At least I didn't have a dead cat in my fan shroud. But I thought that,
that was under the back seat.
Like, Steve, if you ever do have a dead cat in your fan shroud, just don't tell
don't
me.
Tell,
yeah, no, don't tell Sid. Don't bring it up. No. Don't tell Sid. Don't tell Rev. Don't tell anybody.
Rev and I are both cat guys.
Dude, I got really mad. I don't know if you've watched the House on the Hill, the Haunted House on the Hill or whatever.
It's probably.
The,
I think
it's
Tawny
the Netflix show.
It.
Yeah. Halfway,
yeah, we watched it.
Yeah, halfway through, they had a whole scene with dead kittens, and I was like, I hate this. I hate this show. And I flat out stopped watching it.
I won't do that. But
I was done.
In movies, when they hurt dogs or cats, I don't
like any of them at all. Yeah,
it's like,
oh,
man.
Which is funny.
Not the dog.
I'll watch humans get eviscerated.
No problem.
I have no issues with that. Don't mess with a kitten, man.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Same with animals, dogs, too.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. 100% with you. I just want to give a quick shout out. I just saw it on Facebook.
More shout outs.
To Wyatt. Wyatt
Only in the I saw this too.
They just did a big announcement on Facebook. Today we announced something that's been keeping me awake with excitement. Please help me welcome my brother Malcolm Williams as the new bassist of Wyatt Only in the Wreckage.
Dude.
Can't wait for next Saturday at Radfest at Louis G. So Malcolm, new member. Malcolm's a great dude. Jericho Hill. What else is he in?
Stoic FB.
And now he's unfortunately stuck with Wyatt.
Yep.
No, I'm kidding.
As I said, and we'll say again, that Malcolm Williams is a pillar of all things great and fantastic in Seattle.
Fellow wrestling fan. He has a podcast called The Jaded Jobbers.
See?
That he does about wrestling.
Malcolm's the man, dude. Yeah, Malcolm, this was a while ago, he had told me that offer was on the table, and he was thinking about doing it and was kind of excited about it. And so now that I know that that's official, that's
Posted on the old FB.
I also want to give a shout out. They're looking good.
I want to give a shout out
with short hair.
I know. My man Andy McHale was one of the hashtag spoiler alert guys.
Is that top left TV, Andy?
And randomly, because I grabbed my phone to post that dragon picture on the Mixcast page, Andy had texted at 10:38. It says, "I've never watched Game of Thrones. I just thought it would be funny." A bunch of laughing faces.
All right, that's pretty
so
funny.
Rad.
That's awesome. Well, congrats, Wyatt Only in the Wreckage, man.
Yeah.
That's onward and upward. Exciting news for those guys, and I'm happy for them.
Absolutely.
And, they look good.
And Malcolm, make sure you get a bag of dicks from Wyatt.
Yes. Yes, that should be the deal. Get two and bring us
Rad
one.
Fest
yeah,
next
please.
Weekend, huh?
Next Saturday at Louis G's. See the brand new version.
I gotta get down there.
Wyatt Only in the Wreckage.
Nice, yeah.
Well, then they're doing a Rock Out ALS show at Club Sur.
Is it Club Sur? Is it Club Sur?
Sir.
I guess up, sir. Club Sur.
I'm just
Club
I like S-U-R. Like I look at it and it's always in all caps and it was always I don't know.
It's Club Sur. Sir.
Sir.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Maybe you had some. You did some music this past weekend at Drunky Two Shoes. I saw.
I did. Yeah. My bro.
That's the greatest
name
of
a place.
Ever.
Okay, and dude,
I don't know if it is or not.
No. So there's the things we learned. But my buddy BJ was in a motorcycle wreck. Broke his leg.
Ugh. Damn.
He's okay.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. He broke his leg. His bike's torn up. That's a bummer. So
he's alive.
He puts together this fundraiser. I wish I had more information because I felt really bad. Because it literally the flyer had. Like me, Jonas from 10 Miles Wide, Intisar, Darcy Carlson, and what was the name of the band? Celia.
Okay.
So there was five listed. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. So I hit up, but the poster said 3 p.m. I'm like, 3 p.m.?
Oh.
So I hit up BJ and I was like, hey, man, so like, what time does music start? And he hit me back and he's like, oh, dude, kind of 9-ish.
Oh.
I've got you, John, and Tess kind of in that section there. I'm like, oh, okay. So I put up all these posts saying, like, hey, the music probably starts around 8, because people are like, dude, what time should I get there? It says 3.
Right.
Well, it turns out, like, Darcy performed at 3.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I felt super bad. And then I showed up, and they were
You never want to be the guy sending people to a club after other
dude, yeah, I felt so bad. It was just a huge misunderstanding. But and then it wasn't just, like, Darcy played at 3, and there was nothing. Dude, there was, like, 3 or 4 punk bands that played. But so this place, Drunky Two Shoes in White Center, I'd never been there. I'd driven by it 100 times. I'd never been in. Super cool bar. Really cool barbecue, but then you go out and they have this massive patio with a big covered outdoor stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the left of the patio, they have an Airstream trailer that they've converted so the whole side of the trailer opens up and it's like a secondary outdoor bar.
Nice.
It was killer. It was the coolest spot. So yeah, I went down there, did an acoustic set, got to hear Tess play, got to hear John play, got to see Celia play. God, who else jammed? Drank whiskey.
That's a good group.
Yep.
I love that. Drank
Took
whiskey.
My buddy Kelly's 03 Dyna out for a ride. Actually, anniversary. I don't know if technically that's a Dyna, but it's the anniversary series bike, the 100-year anniversary bike. He's got real loud pipes on it and drag bars. I was like, dude, can I? And he's like, go for it. So here's me.
A set of giant balls.
Oh, dude, here's me at like 11 o'clock. Just blah, 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 down Del Ridge Way.
That's cool.
And, yeah, so I rode
good
his bike.
Morning, everybody.
Oh, God, yes. I brought it back. And then I was like,
that's sexy.
I want to go again. He's like, dude, just take it. Mm-hmm. So I did. I just went and bombed around on his bike for, and it was cold out. And like, I think.
Speaking of bikes, I saw a picture on Facebook of our friend Rachel Barley. She posted a picture of her on her going to work.
I just saw that too, man.
On her sporty.
Like, there's probably a lot of heads being turned.
Oh, dude.
Because she's like wearing something super tight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's Rachel. Rachel, I mean, is very fond of showing off what she's got going on. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine a lot of people did double takes. Like, what the hell? Yep.
How many accidents did she cause?
There's a smoking hot blonde.
On a Harley.
Like,
it's like somebody's dream.
I know.
Yeah.
She's going to cause car wrecks. If
I'm
she
sure
hasn't.
She has.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. She bought happy for her.
A really cool little flat black 883.
I saw that at your place.
Yeah, it was at my place for a little while.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Tawny did a bunch of riding on that before we dropped it off at Rachel's. But
it's like a matte black.
Yep, matte black.
I love the matte black Harley.
It's a cool bike for sure, man. But yeah, Rachel's. So we dropped that off to her actually Saturday.
Well, she's out turning heads now.
Because Tawny, we filled it up, and then Tawny and I went and rode all over God's green earth.
Very cool.
Bunch of firsts for Tawny. Had her all over the place, like from where we are all the way down around Alki Peninsula, all the way down around Alki Beach. And I was like, you know, how are you feeling? And she's really doing well. I'm like, you think you want to try, you know, going fast, getting up above, you know, 35, 40? And she's like, yeah, I'm good. So we went down marginal, and I think we were doing about 50 down through there, and she was right with me, and I'm like, okay, she's comfy. And I said, listen, you know, we can get up on 509, and we can get off the first exit, or we can just go all the way home. So there's three exits, so maybe 4 or 5 miles. She's like, I'm good. So I was like, all right, well, when we get on the on-ramp, you know, you'll catch second gear in the corner, and as soon as we're around the corner and we get into the straightaway, I was like, just give it hell. She's like, okay. So I took off in front of her. She was kind of riding, you know, back from me a little bit, but I could see her real clearly in my rear view. She's kind of like a diagonal or whatever. And we got on 509. I third, fourth, fifth, and mine's a 6-speed, so I hit sixth. Doing about 60, and she's right there. And I'm like, okay. Gave it a little more, 65. She's right there. 70, she's right there. 75. She's
no
right
way.
There. Yeah, I just dug into it. So finally, we got up around 75 or so, and I must have looked like a crazy person to anyone else around because I'm literally pumping my left fist in the air, like, yeah baby, rah! As these two Harleys go ripping
That's
up 509.
Cool. Good for you guys.
And we got up around our exit, and it was funny, like, of all the crazy things, but as we're doing that, we got shifted all the way over into the left lane because now we were kind of hauling ass. And there's two giant painter's buckets blowing around on the road.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like, well, that figures. Now we're going to do a high-speed obstacle dodge. Welcome to riding motorcycles, honey.
Sure, why not?
So I kind of pointed. She saw them, and we kind of just timed it and slowed down a bit and slipped between them.
Nice. Cool.
And then got back into it, and she was hauling ass. So we got down to our exit, and she kind of pointed at the exit with her left hand and then pointed down at the road as if to say, hell no.
Yeah.
And she slipped out of the right lane because we were set up to exit. She slipped out of the right lane over to the left and just laid into it.
Yet. Get going.
It's like, so I chased her and caught up with her, and we were side by side barreling down 509.
That's awesome.
And we were going pretty quick.
Yeah.
And we got off down around 160th, you know, and pulled up to the first light, kind of flipped our visors open. I looked over. I'm like, how you doing? And she had this huge smile. I'm like, I told my dad about that. He's like, you realize you can't put that genie back in that bottle. I'm
no,
like, I know.
No way, man.
How cool, though. You guys have something that you can do
it
together.
It was rad. She's so comfortable on it. She's just owning it. So then,
well, even when you were teaching her how to ride, it was just doing the little loops in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And you did a video of that.
She had it.
Duck to water, man. It legitimately,
she just gets it.
Yeah.
Yep. As soon as I, you know, it's. And my bike's a lot bigger than, you know, than Rachel's sporty.
Humble brag.
But it's a heavier bike. So she's like, this thing weighs 650 pounds. But once I hipped her to like, look, motorcycles have this sort of internal gyroscope. Once you get going a little faster than 11 miles an hour, it wants to stand straight up. Its natural place is straight up and down.
Which I remember you told me while we were in Vancouver. Now my mind was blown.
Yeah, it's not like a bicycle where you have to constantly keep it up. This thing just stays up.
And with old age, I have that problem sometimes.
No, I do too. Yeah. I do too. You got to go to the convenience store and buy those D-pills.
Yeah, Black Mamba.
Yeah, she took off on mine, and I knew she was good. So anyway, we rode back home, and then we decided to ride down to Slim's for lunch, which was kind of a bummer. That was when it was real windy and that crane fell.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
Like, her second
past weekend,
fast
yeah.
ride, again, they're going down. We weren't kind of hauling the mail as much. That was just sort of having fun. We were maybe doing 65, 70. But we were dealing with like 20 and 30 mile an hour crosswinds.
No.
So it's beating the hell out of me. And I kept looking in the rear view like, and literally, I think I said out loud, like, I am so sorry that this is one of your first fast rides.
Yeah.
Because this is not what it's like.
No.
And then, of course, it took over the First Avenue drawbridge. So that was our first time on that. You ride across corrugated metal.
How's that feel?
It's kind of like your
rib for her pleasure.
Yeah, oh, dude, your motorcycle becomes like a water noodle. It's like it because of the. It just makes your wheels go crazy.
Oh.
So when you hit that thing, it's like suddenly being on a wave runner. Just blah, 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 blah.
It's got to hold on, huh?
Yeah, no.
Just hold the handlebar straight and ride across.
Yeah.
So I kind of hipped her like, look, when you hit the bridge, it's going to feel funky. Just hold the bar straight and, you know.
Don't try and overreact.
Yeah, just ride through it. We got on the other side of that, no problem. But we got down to Slim's and we're kind of griping about the wind. Linda Kemper, JT's wife.
Yeah.
Linda Phillips, I should say.
Yes.
She pulled in right behind us, oddly enough. She was craving hot wings, so we all end up at Slim's.
Nice.
Just had lunch. Yeah, just by chance.
That's awesome.
Like, she pulled in, and Tanya and I were getting off the bikes, and this girl's like looking at me through the windshield of her car, and I'm looking back, and I'm like, huh.
And you want to go?
She keeps staring, and I'm staring back like, do I know you? Because she had like the big oversized movie starlet glasses on, yeah. And she lifted her sunglasses up, and I'm like, dude.
That's
so
awesome. Dude.
Oh, yeah, we were down there having lunch when Rachel hit up Tawny and was like, hey, I'm back from the guitar show. Do you want me to come? I'll either come to your house and pick up my bike. I want to get it home today. Or, you know, you can just ride it over and drop it off. Tawny's like, we're at Slim's. We'll be there in 20 minutes. So we rode it and dropped it off to Rachel. And I think she hopped on it 2 minutes after we left.
That's awesome. Riding.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's so cool, man.
Yeah, good stuff, man. So good for Tawny. Good for Rachel, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fun stuff. That was my weekend, basically.
Biking babes.
Yeah, are you going to have to get Tawny her own bike now?
That is already a done deal.
Oh.
A really good friend of mine has a beautiful 1200 that he is holding for her as soon as our refi goes through, which actually I hit up our good friend Lisa Castleman.
That's right.
Yesterday, literally, Tawny was like, Lisa, we got everything squared away. Everything's ready to go. Let's do this. Fairway Independent
Shout
Mortgage.
Shout out to Lisa. Lisa did my refinance and did yours.
Yeah. She got me to my home.
House. Yeah,
I was
awesome.
Initially, I had a terrible mortgage broker. That's, if you guys remember way back.
That whole drama with all of that,
I was almost homeless over that because that first mortgage broker was horrible. And Lisa Castleman swept in and just saved the day.
And then I needed someone. And I had a couple people. But after hearing your story, I was like, that is the ultimate endorsement.
She's the bomb, dude.
She's the equivalent of a Jeep with 343,000 miles.
How did
on
she
it.
Do for you?
Worth $4,000.
She crushed it. She's great with communication. This isn't a commercial. That she's not sponsoring us. But Lisa Castleman over at Fairway in the South End, I'm sure she's everywhere. But I can't recommend her enough when it comes to refinance or any mortgage needs.
Dude.
She was a rock star.
She's a ninja.
And she's cool as that.
A ninja rock star.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you and Michelle ever want to get into anything, like I'm telling you, she fixes things that you assumed were unfixable. Like, oh, well, you just do this and that, and what you can do here is do
just
this and that.
Easy.
Wow.
And you go, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, she rules, man. She rules.
Yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah. My good friend Craig Randall, I was at my lowest, just like, you know, really in big trouble. Like, we're going to have to live in the RV for a few months. Like, I was really about to lose everything.
Oh.
And I called my buddy Craig in desperation and was like, do you know anyone, man? This is where I'm at. And he's like, oh, dude, why didn't you tell me you're having such a hard time? You know, I've owned over 30 properties over the years. I was like, what? He's like, dude, I've bought and flipped and sold so many properties. He's like, I wish you would have reached out sooner. And he's the one that hit me to Lisa. And within 72 hours of my first call to her, all those fires were put out and on the way to our closing.
Isn't that such a relief?
Dude.
When you've been dealing with the person who's just been
horrible.
Yeah, an S show. And then suddenly it was like, nope, here we go. Boop, boop,
that
boop.
Guy was so bad that boop, myself boop, and the lady I bought the house from, we eventually discussed taking legal action against him. It was that bad. And then after, it was one of those things, like after we closed and everything was put to bed.
Like, why even deal?
Tawny was like, do you really want to start a fight or do you want to just relax and enjoy the victory?
Right.
And I was like, you know what, baby? That guy, he's the type of person that will hang himself. And I'm like,
sounds
you're right.
Like
you're right, babe. So we let it go.
But smart.
Karma will take care of him.
Yep. Hey, Karma. So,
anyway.
Before we roll, we'll try and do like voicemails, emails, text messages next week and do like a whole spectacular.
Sure. Yeah. Like we do.
I want to give a shout out to our dude, Kyle Court. Kyle! Superfecta, who will be playing at Pain in the Grass. He did something really cool, made my day yesterday. He's doing something on his Facebook page, and he posted a picture of him and I. And then wrote, "Happy Monday, y'all. The first Kyle life highlight of this week is Mr. Steve Miggs." And he's like giving like props to people in his life.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
So kind of
a few weeks back, it's really nice, man.
Yeah, whenever I see people do that, I'm like, I never expected I'd be one of those people. So it's kind of cool to have that happen.
Aww.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected him to do that for you either.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people actually commented. Everyone was pooping in my punch bowl on this. Thanks.
I go out of my way to avoid talking about you whenever I
can. It's a cool story because I do love the story of how we first met. We met back in 2000. He was pulled up on stage. He wrote, "I was pulled up on stage to play with Green Day at the Key Arena. I began working with him a few years later, and we've played KSW New Originals together since 2006. Great radio personality, talented drummer, and a next-level human being. Check out his band, Bruiser Brody, if you haven't already. They're killer. Cheers." And that's from Kyle Court. The story behind it is great. He was in high school. I was an adult. I saw him at the Green Day show.
Began to flirt with him.
Yeah. Green Day does this thing where they always pull people up on stage to do some songs. Way back in the day, 2000, they played at the Key Arena. And he pulled some people up. I didn't know Kyle at the time. I think he was a high schooler. And him and what ended up being, I mean, his friend at the time, but continues to be his drummer, Mike, in Superfecta. They both got pulled up. Mike got to play the drums. Kyle got to play the guitar. And they did, like, I think Operation Ivy's "All I Know Is I Don't Know Nothing" song, whatever. That's typically what the Green Day guys do. And killed it. And I remember running into him, like, "Call tomorrow on the morning show. We'll put you on the air to talk about the experience." That was killer. Like, I tracked them down, saw him. I'm like, "Dude," because I, like, "Anyone know this high school kid? I'm looking for his name." No, you know what I mean? So
track him down.
Calls in. Great story. A lot of fun. Fast forward many years later, he works at KSW in the promotions department.
Mm-hmm.
We got to know each other. We're just BSing. I think maybe even playing New Originals at that time. Talking about music. Like, blah, blah, blah. He goes, "You know we've met already." And I'm like, "No." And I'm like, "Crap,
I was that kid, dude.
Tell us the story." He's like, "I don't know if you remember, but..." And I'm like, more often than not, when someone starts a story with, "I don't know if you remember," I don't.
Yeah.
But I'll try my best to act like I do.
Swiss cheese.
Right.
I was on a lot of hallucinogenics. I was on a very powerful horse tranquilizer at the time.
That's my friend Molly. She's caused me to forget some things. Well, anyways, this was one of those times where I'm like, "Dude, yes.
Yeah.
Holy crap, am I old?" Because now you're an adult in your 20s. You're my peer. And at the time, you were a high schooler, and I was an adult in my 20s.
That is kind of a turn in the punch bowl, though.
"Holy crap, I'm old.
Great to meet you, I'm old."
Everything in my life is a giant turd in the punch bowl. But yeah, so I thought that was cool. Thank you, Kyle, man. That means a lot.
Kyle's amazing.
He's a great guy.
I'm very happy those guys are playing Pain in the Grass because they got the short end of the stick last year when they were supposed to open up for Event Sevenfold.
Yeah, the second day got canceled, right? Or the third day got canceled?
It was the third day, yeah.
Was it Event Sevenfold? Yeah, because it was the singer.
Yeah.
And Shadows had some vocal issues.
Yeah, the throat issues. They had to cancel
broke
the tour.
My heart for those guys.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know that backstory.
Yeah.
And Kyle being Kyle was like, "Okay, cool."
Yep.
I mean, they just were like, "No sweat, we understand." So, you know, when I saw the announcement this year that Superfecta was like, it lit me up because, man, no one deserves it more than those guys.
Yeah.
Especially after that. And Kyle just took it. It's Kyle Court.
And I want
to. So he just went, "I understand these things happen. No big deal, guys. Love you." Yeah. It was just so cool about it. You know?
As an addendum to that, too, Kyle does, he's an expert craftsman, and he does Master of Palettes.
That's right.
Furniture. And if you've seen on like my Facebook page, I've got some shelving that I still need to put up, but also
bar stools, right?
Yeah, my bar stools that he did made them straight out of pallets and then stained them, and they are
awesome,
beautiful. Yeah, they they're still amazing, and they're like one of my favorite things. They've really brought the room together.
They really tied the room together. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was like he's just so talented in so many different ways.
Yeah. Great on drums. Great on guitar. Great on vocals.
Well,
he's the
pianist in Travis's project.
On the
Travis Brott record. Did you guys know that?
I knew he was a member of the Travis.
Solo band. He's Travis's keyboard guy.
Okay, I got you.
Now, I don't know if live Kyle will rotate into guitar if Travis plays piano, or if live, maybe Kyle's going to play all the piano and Travis.
What about
the
guitar?
Because you got, oh.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah. We need some more guitars in
our
lives.
My solo record will have a guitar.
Let's get guitared in here.
Oh,
let's
get guitared.
Stoner rock with my guitar. I'm going to do that now. That's going to be my record.
All right.
Well, anyway, yeah, Kyle, Master of Palettes on Facebook. Yes. If anyone wants to commission him to do some stuff,
because
he's, you know, he's a guy that's just making his way with his art. So
absolutely,
if you can help him pay his bills with his art, that'd be pretty freaking cool. All right, I think we got to wrap some things up. But Glenn, anything going on this weekend for you?
Nah, man.
Oh.
I think I'll be going to be headed to Louis G's. I think that's going to be going on this weekend.
That's Friday.
Go to see
son of a bitch.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss it because I'm wrestling.
You'll be wrestling.
Wrestling. 3-2-1 battle. I don't think it's been announced, but don't tell anyone. Me versus a certain wrestler at 3-2-1 battle. Tony Baroni. Didn't say it.
Oh, didn't say it.
No, didn't
say it.
You don't know what's going on.
You heard it here first. Or not.
Or not, maybe. Somewhat.
By the time this probably goes on, they'll probably make the announcement. If not, you can come see me wrestle at 3-2-1 battle. I'm going to be there. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to do that, which is at Evolve Fitness, which will be a blast. And that's Friday night. Speaking of wrestling, you get yourself a Miggs t-shirt.
Yeah,
ProWrestlingTees.com/I'm Steve Miggs. Nobody has bought one in a couple of weeks.
Rude.
I feel like a loser.
Oh, wow.
I got bills to pay, bitches, and I get nothing.
I still technically owe Justin a shirt still.
Yeah, you owe me one. Come on, what the French toast?
Well, I got once my refund.
All
funds are essentially frozen. Yeah. Like, it's tough because Tawny and I are just barely eking by, but there's money everywhere. We just can't spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're just day to day, like we're making it. But you look at all our accounts, like we're really sexy on paper right now. And it's tough.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, F this, man. I want a damn sandwich. You know?
Well, not to put any pressure on you, but Saturday is a big day for me. So.
It's May the 4th be with Rev.
Yes. And it'll be my
birthday.
40th.
I think that's... Am I invited?
I think I invited you. It's a big Nerf battle.
It's weird. Now it's awkward because we're here. We're discussing
and
it on
I'm
the
looking
program,
at you in the eyeball.
And I'm like, can I come? Do you want me there?
Yeah. Actually, I thought I invited you. Maybe
you
I
You may
didn't.
Have. If it was a Facebook invite,
I'm the worst with those.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It is a Facebook invite. You know where I live anytime afternoon, so you just show up.
Is it going all night?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I'm going to try because I got Avengers tickets on Saturday.
Yeah!
So. You should go see the movie and then show up and dust him in his own house.
And check on the wife. You got to see how she's feeling after the Avengers movie.
She'll be wigging out about that crack in your dash.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you know right now, I'm having a Nerf-themed Battle Royale birthday. People will be shot, and usually it ends up in the face.
I'll just bring my Uzi.
I'm just going to walk in there.
It'd be funny if I had like a Nerf Uzi and I just walk in, just capped all of you like the minute I walk in.
That'd be hilarious.
God, bitches.
I want to just get like a water noodle and then like maybe some foam blades on it, and I'll come dress as a Viking and that'll be my hatchet.
Yeah.
And I'll just wander around whacking people with it.
We have teeny tiny shields and like teeny tiny foam swords.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those.
That is medieval on all of you mother effers.
I know,
right? Dude, yeah.
Well, hey, happy early birthday, Rev.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Big 4-0, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yeah,
do you know what 40 feels like?
Probably like 39.
Feels just like 39.
Yeah. Lots of pain.
You know what I got to say about the 40s?
Huh?
Way better than any other decade of my life. So
really,
good things.
My 30s have been pretty awesome. So I'm really hoping for that.
I say this with complete confidence. This has been the best decade of my life.
Yeah, look at all the stuff you've been doing,
right,
man.
I mean,
wrestling, the band. Oh, and by the way, congrats on the re-up of your contract.
Thank you.
That's big
for all
news.
Of us, right? That's all of us.
Yeah, that I saw that all over my newsfeed, and I'm like, man, cool. Like, it's one of those things you don't consider, like, you guys, you know what I mean?
It's cool. It's funny because
that was awesome news.
We talked about it on the Megacast. It's kind of a funny thing because it's been this waves of awesomeness in that sense, because technically we agreed to our contract in December.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, or January.
But you couldn't announce or something?
Well, we never signed our contract because of lawyers. It took forever, because you have to wait.
Lawyers take,
everything was agreed on by Entercom and by our show, but we couldn't make anything public because it technically wasn't signed.
Right.
So then we went for about 3-4 months.
Yeah, just being like, hey, what's going on? Hey,
which
what's
was
going
funny.
On?
Like, we're like, I mean, we'll get too into details about it because it's like, it's just what happened.
Business, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So then we finally signed, and it's like, yes, we have finally signed. And then we're like, hey, is there going to be any kind of press release, or do we have to be quiet about it? Like, hold on. Another month goes by. And then the press release comes out, and we didn't even know it came out until it came out.
So they did a press release.
Which is great. But they already had all, like, they asked us for what we want in the press release, but we didn't know when the press release would be coming out.
So all of a sudden, boop.
The press release shows up, and I'm getting all these messages and my notifications.
Congratulations on not getting fired.
Right. So it's been like this.
Congratulations on your continued job security.
Yeah, but it's like waves of really cool moments. Like, end of December, yay. End of, like, March or, you know, whatever, yay. And then now, end of April, yay. It's now official. And so it's funny when people are like congratulating us. I'm like, for what? I'm like, oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's four and a half.
Everyone's like, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. For what?
Yeah. Congratulations on me still being able to afford my house.
Sorry,
yay. That I bought. Like,
I was down at Walmart and Miggs was greeting people. Like,
cursing him out with his Uzi Nerf gun.
He seemed kind of put off by the selfie I demanded he take with me.
So go check out Wyatt. That's on Saturday. You said or Friday?
Friday night?
Friday.
I thought you said Saturday.
Friday is May 3rd. Saturday is May 4th.
Never mind. Go then. Let me double check it. I don't want to screw him over.
I feel you.
Because if it was Saturday, exciting. I could two-stop shop, man.
Yeah, I know. Now you got to do
it. I could swing by your house, slay people
it
with my water.
It is next Saturday?
But he says next Saturday. Is that this upcoming Saturday or the Saturday after this Saturday?
What's the date on his post?
An hour ago.
No, the date, does it say what date it is?
No. It just says next
Wyatt!
Saturday.
Do we have to Google his own show?
You're doing it wrong. Jesus yeah, do we? Christ, we got to look up his information now.
Because technically, next Saturday is not the upcoming Saturday; it's the Saturday after.
But
right?
It is actually though the next Saturday.
But wouldn't that be just this Saturday? Why wouldn't he just say this Saturday?
I would say this Saturday.
Jesus, Wyatt, you know I'm trying to like you.
God damn it!
Well, May 17th is Rock Out ALS.
Yeah, and this is something else, right?
This is Radfest, and there's no freaking. He's got no posts on it.
Oh, wow. Yes. Promotional fail.
Jeez.
Wyatt, you're really pissing me off, man.
I can see it in your eyes.
I mean, I'm really just.
He's already forgotten about his new vehicle.
I want to like the guy. Right? May 11th.
May 11th. That's
so it's not this Saturday.
It's next Saturday.
It's next Saturday.
He's right.
But it's
so I would have driven down to
Saturday,
Louis
Saturday, May 11th. And you were going on a Friday.
I would have went to Louis G's
on a Friday.
We're a wreck.
Damn.
Okay. I don't even want to
Sorry,
talk
Wyatt.
About it. You know what? He's lucky Malcolm's in the band. Otherwise, I wouldn't. I like Malcolm. It's Malcolm and the Wreckage.
Oh.
May 11th.
Already,
Malcolm only and the Wreckage. Not Wyatt only. Malcolm only and the Wreckage.
Wyatt, we love you. Radfest is happening at Louis G's on May 11th, which is a
nice,
Saturday
then
night.
I can make it then.
I will be wasted in Portland, sorry. A bunch of bands are going to be there. Woodshed, Lust Punch, Jericho Hill. Mr. Master, Reverend Bear. Is that you?
No.
Oh.
No. Quickly, no.
A few other bands as well.
Quickly, no.
No.
So all starts at 1 p.m., all ages.
Dude.
Luigi's Pizza. Check them out.
Hey,
Radfest.
Maramba. I'll be down with that. All
right. That is next Saturday, technically. He's right.
No,
Wyatt, use dates, man.
God, we're getting into May. I need to make things happen.
Yeah, it's going to be me, May.
May, sorry. Sorry, May and June are going to get weird for me. Yeah. Things are going to go into high gear.
Yes.
High gear.
High. Yeah, because you've got your record coming out.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I got a lot of things to juggle.
Yeah, irons in the fire.
A lot of balls to juggle.
You know, since I'm dealing with all that, now would be a great time to refi my house.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Do you have enough on your plate?
How many more? Let's see what else we can do.
Oh, man. You can reach us at 253-271-4787. If you got something you want to tell us, leave us a voicemail, leave us a text message, or email us. Yeah, maybe next week. TheMiggsCast@gmail.com. Glenn, always great seeing you, my friend.
Love you guys. Rev, great to see you.
I mean, I'll see you again tomorrow. So
yeah, good seeing you, Glenn.
Yeah, good to
happy
see you,
early birthday,
happy
Reverend.
Happy early birthday,
thank you.
The big 4-0.
I know, right?
All right, we're going to get on out of here. And as always, stay positive. Off. Yell it.
HIV positive.
Oh, Jesus.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark,
Streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball. For the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.